You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
It is in multi-track.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going. And go on. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon? Well, this isn't a UFO.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
What? Batman.
Well,
Mothman. Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Santo Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants.
I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Well, let's get back on task.
Man, it's loud. Ready? Welcome back to Cryptids of the Coin Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 77.
And I'm talking quieter because my headphones are turned up so loud. No, so it's going to be a really, really fun show today. I'm super excited. I'll let you introduce the guest here in a minute, Jay. But I just, we're rock and rolling. We're getting ready for Crypticon. I just want to reach out to everybody. If you're going to Crypticon, let us know. Follow the Facebook page. Friday, Saturday night, we normally do Patreon and, you know, listener hangouts. So those are, you guys, everybody's welcome to come to them. Just watch the Facebook page. Or if you message us, I normally create like group chats. So be like, hey, we're going to be eating at 7 o'clock down here at this bar or whatever. So that way you guys know to come, you know, everybody's welcome to hang out with us for a while. It's Crypticon has been so much fun doing that. I think our record's probably like 40 people down there.
That one time. Yeah. Last year.
Cryptids of Corn Crew was the whole bar.
Yeah.
That was a fun time. I want to reach out. I just want to say that. And the book is available on CryptsOfCorn.com and Amazon Monday, the 25th of November. But you can get your first copy. It's being premiered at Crypticon.
So it'd make a great stocking stuffer for this, this Christmas season coming up.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead and introduce our amazing guest.
Well, our guest today is a longtime listener of the show. He frequently joins us on Tuesday mornings on Cryptids and Coffee. Here to present us with some information that he's been tracking, I guess, or keeping tabs on over, an extended period of time. But he's an Ohio River gazer. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Yay, Dale.
What's up, cryptid, corn, cult people? All right. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on, and you reached out to us. Before we get rock and rolling, I just want to say, everybody, we are going to be talking about the death of a young man, and we are not belittling it. We are not using this as an entertainment thing. We've covered this same story a couple times on our show already. The thing with this death is there's a lot of unexplained things tied to it and possibly cover-ups, whether it was purposeful, like people really really working on not letting this get out there, or negligence, which is, you know, another really bad thing of just, you know, it falling through the cracks.
Yeah.
So I just want to put that PSA out there. We're not going to share the name of this young man. If you really want to find it, you can find it if you Google it. But that's just not for us. So Dale has, I won't give away too much about Dale. Dale lives in Kentucky. Dale's followed this for a long time. And he reached out to us kind of after one of our Dogman episodes with it, I believe. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So, yeah, and, go ahead.
This is a case that popped up, and it caught my attention because it was something that it sounded really familiar, and it was like involving a young man in a certain part of Kentucky that's close to the Appalachians. But it was a case I've been following since then, like on and off. It's always been a weird case, and then there's details that don't make sense or don't add up. So, yeah.
So let's get into it, I guess. Let's just start. I don't know if you want to give a synopsis of the case, how they say it happened or how the witnesses say it happened. Because if I'm remembering right, was it his grandma was there on the back porch when it happened, or was it his grandpa?
I don't think what it was ever disclosed in what reports were given out on the internet or whatever, but it was a relative, and he was there visiting this relative, and it wasn't his first time being in the area or visiting this home. I guess the layout of the land is it's not Kentucky, and it's like pretty much out of the Appalachian area of eastern Kentucky. Very mountainous, and that's pretty much where the story begins at.
Well, I think it'd be best to just start off just giving us what the official, you know, story is that what's happened so far. So people, and then we'll dig into all the other details after that.
Okay. So basically what happened was back in February 19th of 2020 in Knott County, Kentucky, a 13-year-old boy was staying with a relative, and is during the rainy season, February, and it was around 6 o'clock at night, I believe, is when everything happened. This boy was attacked by what the relatives or who was watching this boy was saying it was a large canine or a large animal. They couldn't really disclose what it was because they couldn't get a good look at it because it was dark, obviously. But the strange thing is, it's been muddy, and this poor kid was dragged up a hill that was probably 300, 400 feet up on a hillside. So it had to take a lot of animals or a very large, strong animal to do this. And pretty much after that happened, the authorities came in, the Fish and Wildlife, FBI, other rescue teams come in, and they find the boy's body up on his mountainside, and he was dead from apparent animal attacks. At the time, they couldn't disclose or couldn't confirm what animal might have attacked him or killed him, but later on, as the story goes throughout the week of the prior to the attack, that it was unknown animal attack to a canine, supposedly a canine attack, to them narrowing it down to, oh, it's when wild dogs in the area. I mean, okay, so you've got the story jumping around quite a bit since the boy was attacked. And that's how I got kind of interested in the story, because it's close around to my birthday, and this happened. I'm like, oh. So I like follow the reports, and like I noticed that something was strange about it, because every time I looked at the following on the reports, that the story would change constantly of all the details. Like it became like a mysterious large animal attacking this kid, to okay, well, we got a group of wild dogs attacking the kid. And it was like, it's just really weird. So that's where I get my involvement into the looking into this case was.
So let's stop there then.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, young, young. You said 11, right?
Just 13 years old.
13, sorry. So 13-year-old boy. I mean, that's not a small. Even if a small 13-year-old boy is not a small person necessarily.
No, it's not like a toddler or
nothing. No, and so when we're talking about animals, is why
not
making that a very,
yeah,
very prudent thing. Right next to a home, you know, he was on the grandma or whoever's his relative's property. So he's not like out in the middle of Daniel Boone National Forest or nothing like that, you know. Mm-hmm. He's near homestead. He's near, like, the house. Dragged up 300, 400 feet up a hillside, up a mountainside, where he succumbed to injuries. So, and I, me and you talked about this already, Dale. Wild dog attacks, they're really, really easy to ID because they, keep in mind, everybody, we're talking about a person. But for animal, wild, normal wild dog attacks on any animal, they shred.
Yeah, they leave a mess, right?
It looks like whatever they attacked exploded.
Hmm.
And whether it's a deer or a chicken or an unfortunate human being, they are extremely messy and extremely good at breaking apart a carcass very, very fast. Most time while the animal or victim is either freshly dead or still alive. So for them to say wild dogs immediately, or not immediately, that was the last thing that they said, but in that, like Dale was saying, that very short time in the news, you know, it went from unknown creature, canid creature, wild dogs. For wild dogs to, for like Dale said, in the rain, on a 300-foot hillside, mountainside, to drag this unfortunate boy up there and then kill him.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that just screams not wild dogs. Now, I wasn't the investigator there. I didn't get to see the injuries on the boy. And to their benefit of the doubt, they may have, the teeth marks and everything may have matched that the most. So even though that the behaviors didn't match to the investigator without the conspiracy side of things, it may have matched the bite patterns the closest.
Enough evidence to call it wild dogs, I guess.
Yeah, without having to be a conspiracy. Now, I do think there was, and which we'll get into, I'm sure, with Dale, some conspiracy with this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like Dale was saying. Those are the first, like, really big red flags, is how fast the story changed,
mm-hmm.
how fast it evolved. And I get, you know, murder cases, you know, and anything like that, they can change really quick, especially the news is just horrible anymore. So, what's, you know, that? This news outlet adding this news yeah. outlet adding that.
Is it local news? Is it, or, you know...
So Dale would know more than me, but for what I see when we did the research for that episode, it was a mix. I mean, it was everything. It didn't get picked up nationally or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some pretty big Kentucky, Tennessee news and picked up for like a week.
Is it then like, is it the police, though, that reports to the news or like
well, okay,
the
that's,
news gets their information?
That's a part of the conspiracy here, which I'm sure we'll get into because what happened to the young man's body is one of the weird things.
Yeah. Okay.
So... Dale, so you sat there, it was your birthday, around your birthday, you hear this, and it changes so rapidly. What before you started doing your research into it, what was kind of your immediate thought?
Well, this is the red flag for me is the same as what red flag for you was that, okay, you got a child that's probably like, oh, from what it looks like of the pictures of the boy when they showed it on the internet, is like, it looks to be around 100 pound range. I'm like, come on, it's been raining for like quite a while during that time, and you have an animal dragging this kid up 300, 400 feet up a hillside, a mountainside. That doesn't sound normal. So, and it's just, and the oddity of the whole thing was that the story, like I said, the story kept changing throughout the week. When this is going on, all the investigation, everything, it went from the boy was found on a mountainside from apparent animal attacks, then they found out, oh, it's a canine attack. Okay, then it went from canine attack to wild dog attack, and they got this wild dog attack information from, all of a sudden, they put wild game cameras up around the property area, and then that happened, and then next thing you know, they say, oh, we found wild dogs in a old abandoned mine that's around the property area. It's like just all these weird details. It's like It's like, are you just trying to make up a narrative as you go along? Or what's going on?
They said that they put up game cameras and they found
an old
abandoned mine full of wild dogs.
Yes.
I guess it's plausible.
Now, this is where the story went.
And
this is coming from Kentucky State Police, FBI officials, Kentucky Wild Game and Fish. And this sounds so made up.
Right, yeah.
Immediately. It's just, and once again, we're not laughing at the death. We're laughing at the apparent mishandling of the case is so.
Yeah.
So evident.
Details being so wishy-washy and changing.
With a boy's death.
Death, yeah.
Yeah, so. Oh my gosh. Well, continue, Dale. Sorry.
So, yeah, so apparently they found. Allegedly, they found these wild dogs and they sent them off to whatever the local animal shelter is to have them tested, DNA taken, DNA samples taken, and then the animals were immediately destroyed.
Oh,
okay. Mm-hmm. So there's another twist to the story there. and next thing you know, and another thing that was odd is how quickly they buried this kid after the fact of the incident. You have him. Technically, the attack happened on February 18th. Let me see here. I got my notes here.
Because I think you said the 19th they found him, right?
Yeah, the 19th they found him. I think they like did an autopsy the next day, the following day.
Mm.
And then from the time period, from February 19th of when it happened, the services for his funeral was held on February 23rd. Does that not sound like really rushed to you for a funeral service?
What, 4 days? Yeah.
Well, 4 days since from the murder.
From the attack. So
3 days from the discovery.
Yeah, so that's incredibly quick, especially when an active investigation into... He didn't just die, right? So, you know, he was murdered, killed, you know, mm-hmm. attacked. And with an active investigation, like, that doesn't happen.
At least I don't think so. I mean, I'm no expert.
No, I mean, when we talked about it, remember, we even looked into it. The Kentucky coroner and everything like that had... Like when they're with their murder thing, I think it was like a week and a half was their average.
Wow. Okay.
To give a body back.
Yeah. It's like, you know, these things don't happen that quick. They don't press, they don't try to rush these things that fast.
No, unless they're prepared, you know, like if someone's on death's door, you know, with their sick.
Different. What I'm saying.
That's different.
This, when I look up, I think it was the week and a half the Kentucky coroners take for an active investigation.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to give the body back, because if something is discovered later,
right.
They don't have anything to compare it to.
Right.
And I get it sucks. It 100% sucks for the family. But if it's my kid or whatever, I want to know what happened.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to wait another couple days. Mm-hmm. What, you know, whatever it takes to, you know, to figure this out.
Well worth the closure.
So, yeah, 4 days after the attack, he's in the ground. Now, I know I'm really bad with other religions, as in remembering the specifics. I don't think they were Jewish, but I think Jewish people, is it 24 or 48 hours?
What's that? I don't know. It's
supposed to be in the ground.
I have no idea.
It's
out of my purview.
I only know this because we fish sampled a Jewish cemetery, I believe it was.
Okay.
And the guy was super nice that was running it, and we were just asking questions because I'd never been to one. And he's like, yeah, it happens really, really fast because unless there's something mysterious with the death, like they're supposed to be in the ground within 24 hours.
Huh. Okay, of their death.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's super interesting. The guy that was running it was interested in what we were doing. We were interested. It was a very, very pretty place.
Yeah.
We just don't have a huge Jewish population where we live.
No, not at all.
There's a couple people I can think of that are Jewish, but not like enough to think of like a Jewish cemetery.
No.
But yeah, sorry. Continue, Dale.
But yeah, that's pretty much it on the details of all the information I have on that. And after that, it just pretty much goes cold after that. Everything just is set and cut and dry on all the reports, on any kind of news reports that you find on this case. There is the thing that's weird, though, is like now if you try to Google this case, it just goes from boy killed by canine attack at age 13. And it's just very cut and dry. And it like leaves the same weird BS details of the story like that I told you about the game trail and the mysterious mind that just apparently comes around the property. And it was just weird. It's like, okay, so this kid isn't the first time this kid has been at this residence. And it's not the first time, you know, I'm sure the family members that lived in that area, they know what animals are around there. They know what threats would be around the property. You know, it's just common sense.
I mean,
if there is a real danger, why would you let your kid go out and play out in the woods or what, or the backyard?
If you had a mine shaft on the back of your property
full of wild dogs,
you'd be like, hey, Jimmy, let's not play out there today. There's a mine shaft full of wild dogs.
Right, yeah. Or you'd have some of them taken care of.
So I've been reading along with Dale. I had some stuff pulled up already. With the dogs that were turned in, mm-hmm. like he said, they were destroyed immediately.
Yeah.
I have now, this is from the society that took in the dogs. They did DNA testing on the dogs to compare to the wounds on the bodies. Now, here's something interesting with what Dale said. They were immediately destroyed the second they got not after they got the test results back, after they took samples.
Oh, so they took samples and then just killed them.
Yes.
Okay.
And only a couple, and this is from the official report.
Fauci style.
Only a couple of the dogs maybe matched the victim.
Maybe. Is that what it says, maybe?
Yes.
Wow.
90% match. Not 100, a 90% match. Dog.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah.
Dog. So they rounded up. It looks like, before we get into all the weird stuff, they rounded up a bunch of stray dogs, showed them into a cage, like on TV, to be like, here's the dogs that killed the boy. Blew them up. Like, DNA test, dog did it.
Yep.
So the DNA specimens collected of all those dogs and compared it to the victim. Only several dogs even had a resembling match found on the victim. And that's from state police.
Is there a coroner's report?
Yeah. The coroner's report. There is a coroner's report. I'm not going to give out the coroner's name.
No, that's
I have
okay.
his name, though. So there's the Kentucky State coroner is the one that got involved.
So the head
local
guy.
Coroner, though, was the first one on the scene.
Okay.
Like it's supposed to be. Responded to the scene and pronounced the victim deceased with suspecting injuries associated with severe animal attacks. Now, listen to this. Although the death has been determined, the cause of death has been determined by the local detectives, the case is still open to this day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the case is still opening and pending still to this day. That's the weird thing. If it's so cut and dry with all this evidence that they collected, it was wild dogs.
You burn all these dogs up. You were pretty confident it was the dogs.
Yeah, why is it still officially open-ended?
Right now, yeah, that's crazy to me. It's still open right now.
That's what's the weird thing about it.
So the state coroner, if I'm not mistaken, was the one that immediately released the body back to the family to be buried.
Hmm.
So because it was a young male, and we talked about this in I think it was a Patreon episode where we did weird animal tracks around death. And that's the first time I think we covered this, and then we covered it again in the Dog Man.
Mm-hmm.
Dog Man aren't good. Where this Kentucky State coroner takes sometimes 3 or 4 weeks with suspicious deaths. Now, 99% of the time, they only get murders and stuff the local people can't figure out. That's their job. They are supposed to get, if I believe, and I may be mistaken, if we have any Kentucky professionals that are listening, if you want to correct me, please send an email. The state coroner is supposed to get anything dealing with children in a mysterious way.
Okay.
Because that makes sense, you know, if it's kids are, you know, this like special victims unit and that kind of stuff, you know.
Higher priority.
Any crime with a kid needs to be looked at a little more carefully.
Agreed, yeah.
So for them, from their average of 2 or 3 week turnaround to releasing the body and being put in the ground in 4 days from death.
That's weird.
For the state is
odd.
Insane.
Yeah. Red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do anything that fast. DNA collection alone, to actually go over the body and trying to ID, Like, this makes no sense to me.
I wonder, too, like, are the family, did they just not?
They probably were so, think about the family. They are probably so destroyed.
Yeah.
That they weren't thinking of asking questions.
No, I totally understand that.
Like, you know, it was dogs. I'm sorry, Miss and Miss, Mr., you know.
But yeah, you lost your son.
And the relative said it was a canine-looking thing. So as far as mom and dad that weren't there, that makes sense, you know. Okay, it was dogs. So they just want to bury the kid.
And move past it, basically, because it's horrible.
It's a horrible thing. So I don't, it's nothing, like, I wouldn't have asked questions. When, you know, you're so, that just, I couldn't even imagine how much that destroys your life.
No, oh yeah.
Losing a kid.
Everything changes.
Yeah, so, yeah, of course you wouldn't ask questions till later.
Right, yeah.
And then you're like, well, actually, that didn't make sense.
I wonder if that's why it's still open-ended, or.
Well, it's because it got taken, in my opinion, which Dale probably, last Dale. I think it's because they got taken away from the local guys immediately by U.S. Fish and Wildlife and other organizations.
Okay.
So the local guys weren't the ones that closed the case.
Okay.
So maybe there's a couple of these local guys that are still incubating on the idea of how something don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Dale, about all of that? Sorry, we talked for too long.
I think the bigger dogs came in and they pretty much shut everything down and told everybody to shut up about it.
Yeah.
Move the case along quickly as possible and push it under the ground as fast as they could. That's what it seems like to me. And it's just, I mean, we hear this through all their other accounts through other people in throughout the world, where if they see a Bigfoot or something or some kind of attack happens, that some officials come in and say, "Hey, you didn't see nothing. You don't see anything."
So I got it right here. It went from locals to Kentucky State Police and the state coroner.
Okay.
So immediately on the scene was the local guys and the local coroner. And then about an hour and a half later, it was all turned over to the state level.
The big wig stepped in.
And then it was turned over with U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Which is even bigger, huh?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm president calling the EPA.
Or the FDA.
Oh, gosh. But no, yeah, so by the attack happened, like Dale said, I actually have it by like the bullet point minutes. So like 4:30, 5 o'clock on Wednesday night. And then by midnight, it was completely turned over to the state. The state guy was talking about how steep it was. He said it would have been almost how steep and wet it was, 300 or 400 feet up there, that it took him 2 or 3 hours to get up there to the boy. He said he didn't think a bear could do it.
Like wow.
He does, and that's from the state guy talking.
That's just crazy right there.
A bear couldn't get up to where that kid was.
Wow.
And the relatives watched whatever this canid creature was rip the kid up the hill.
Wow. Man, that just, so with all this like happening and then the weird evidence, red flags, it just makes you question why. Why, you know, wrap it up so fast? Why, you know, call it case closed? Why turn it over to the state and then, it's just that's what goes through my head immediately. It's just why? So there's something. I mean, not to be conspiratorial, but that's what raises those. In your mind.
You can only have so many things of being like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. Well, that's weird. Well, that's weird.
Well, I mean, people talk about, you know, conspiracy theorists or things like that. It's because some things just don't add up, and not just like with this case in general, but a lot in our lives now, like. A lot of things just don't add up. We've been lied to a lot, and I think people are starting to catch on and just naturally ask these questions now, or at least anyone that's paying attention to things like this.
And then, sorry, Dale, I'll let you take it back over. I just wanted to say there are several big news organizations that have came back out and said that they still really haven't determined what killed the boy. So even there was a couple, and I don't want to name them because they're a couple Mountain Allegheny newspaper companies are going out there and saying that those answers. I just was impressed. I actually found a news source that was saying that those aren't satisfactory answers.
Yeah.
That's not satisfactory.
You mean real news?
Yeah. Well, this real guy's reporters? Been shot in the back of the head since then.
Well, he did it himself, I'm sure.
I'm sorry. He committed Sudoku 4 times in the back of the head.
Yeah, there you go. Sudoku.
I think that's from Billy and Mandy again.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't say that on TV.
Right. Yeah. That's funny.
But no, go on, Dale. So what you see all this weird stuff with the police and the big guys coming in. So where do you go next and what's the why?
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
I don't know. So the why is, like, it happens so close to home. And, like, granted, I live, like, maybe 4 hours away from the area. It's just too much weirdness going on about this case. It's, like, too many red flags. I'm trying to understand why they try to cover this up so quickly. If it was just wild dogs, then, you know, that'd be one thing, but it's just so weird. Like, no wild dog, a pack of wild dogs is not going to drag a kid up an embankment of a mountainside or a hillside 300 to 400 feet on a muddy slope at that. It's not happening. I don't care.
Right. They might have been taking him to the cave. I don't know. Who knows?
The cave.
Yeah, and there's a mysterious mind that just shows up out of the report out of nowhere. It's like, oh, yeah. Well,
the state guy's saying that I don't think a bear could get up there. And there's a pack of dogs carried a kid up there.
Well, they went through a wormhole and it opened up.
Okay.
And that's where the cave is. And
I missed that. I missed
that. So they're hiding.
I missed that in the article.
It's all in their wordplay.
They actually had one of those little ski lifts.
They handcrafted a ski lift, a pack of wild dogs.
This is not funny.
We destroyed it all. I know it's not funny.
We're laughing at the fact of that there's...
The ridiculous explanation.
That there's so much stuff. So, Dale, obviously you don't think it's a pack of wild dogs. What do you think it is?
From what people have been saying and what I've been thinking about is it could have been a possible dog man attack, because we do have dog men in Kentucky. We have this thing called a barilla that's like a mix between a bear and a wolf and a gorilla. And we have this other thing called a Kentucky hellhound. I mean, it could be all sorts of different possibilities of what cryptids we got going on in this case. I mean, you just take your pick. I mean, as for wild dogs, I mean, I've seen wild dogs in Kentucky. I've seen wild dogs in Iraq. And the behavior of wild dogs is they pretty much are like, they kind of act like coyotes. They really don't want to mess with you unless you, like, pose a threat to them or, you know, tick them off. Or if they get so desperate for food, then maybe they might try to come at you. But other than that, they're pretty much, they keep away from everybody. They're more like opportunistic feeders. They feed off of trash, feed off of carrion, corpses, whatever. But to actively go after people and drag them up a 400-foot hill, I don't think so. I don't think, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
So you named a couple cryptids there. Well, let's talk about that. Actually, if you don't mind, I want to talk about two other animals before we talk about cryptids. Because I think all the cryptids you supposed are very evident for this case. But I just want to say that with bears, we've talked about there are black bears in this part of Kentucky. There are black bears in Appalachia. Bears are carnivores. They can be very, very predatory. With black bears, we've discussed this a lot with how they prey upon animals. They're capable of killing animals, you know, close to their same size, even a little bigger. We're talking black bear specifically. They're just not great at it. And by that, I mean, if you look up the videos of them, a 300-pound black bear hunting a 100-pound deer, they struggle a lot with the bigger animals. Not saying they're not powerful and they can't do it. They can. They're just not built to be that predatory. So could a couple 100-pound black bear kill a 100-pound kid? Yes, 100%. would it be very, very out of character for them? Yes, 100%. Now, let's say there's always that chance with, you know, a cub being somewhere hidden that, you know, boy didn't see. Maybe boy got too close to cub. Mom came out and killed him. That 100% could have happened. With the black bear, the weird thing with it would be the taking him 300 to 400 feet up a slope to then continue to maul him. That, to me, does not scream anything in black bear behavior. When they normally, when they kill, they will eat whatever they kill right then and there. And if it's a defensive mauling, which happens with cubs, they leave.
Yeah,
they get out of the area so fast.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's because they felt so threatened that they had to kill to protect their cub.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're worried about what they've done, and now they need to leave. They don't. 99% of the time, I've never really heard of them defensively killing somebody and staying to eat, because it's not those type of behaviors. You know, those behaviors aren't associated. Normally, mom is so freaked out that all she wants to do is take the cub or cubs and go hide somewhere so deep in a hole. So for me, the possibility of a bear preying upon the boy, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense to take the boy up the mountainside. And then for the defensive killing, doesn't make a lot of sense for the same reason. Not saying that those maulings can't be gruesome, because they rarely can be. A bear's jaws are extremely strong. Crunching bone and skull is not that difficult for an animal like that. The behaviors after the grab of the boy, because I believe, if I remember right, the boy was still alive when he was being dragged up the hill. That's a lot. That's a lot to suppose a black bear to do.
Mm-hmm.
The other animal that is not technically fully documented still in Kentucky, but I believe they're there 100%, is mountain lions. And we're now getting to the point where the DNRs, the Departments of Natural Resources in many of these northern states, these Appalachian states, are going to have to start coming forward with the public and letting them know, yeah, these things, they're still here. They've never left. You know, we knocked the numbers back dramatically. They're bouncing back. There was just a video in Michigan 3 weeks ago, as of recording this, not when this comes out, of a mountain lion in a park about 40 minutes north of Detroit.
Oh, wow.
And the cat was not doing anything aggressive. The lady had kind of cornered the cat, and once she realized what she did, she was filming it and whacked away, and the cat left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like a playground park. I mean, like a DNR park. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, a hiking trail park.
Right, right, right.
So I'm not saying that it wasn't like a playground. There wasn't a big cat on the playground.
Yeah.
And then I believe in West Virginia, there is a very, very compelling video of a mountain lion 2 months ago. Very similar thing. Appalachian hiker was like, there's a mountain lion. He's like, I'm on X trail and X mile and looking down the valley. There's a mountain lion. You can see it running around because he scared it. So these animals are starting to come back. Now, with big cats, they are way, way, way higher at punching above their weight class when it comes to the prey they can take on relatively easy. So a mountain lion, you know, kill elk. Yeah. 200-pound mountain lion kills 900-pound elk. And if you don't believe me, there's a video of that. They were in their cabin on YouTube. You can watch it, where literally the elk came crashing into the wall, under the glass. And that cat that's on its throat looks so tiny.
Jeez.
And it's this 900-pound elk,
yeah,
is just getting murdered by like 150-pound mountain lion.
That's nuts.
And the elk's freaking, and it's like, you never would have believed that until you've seen it, that, you know, these animals are capable of this thing. And big cats will oftentimes take their prey animals up trees, up mountains, up cliffs. Yeah. That's, you know, they are smart about when they are eating. They want to take an animal up where other predators cannot bother them.
It does seem more like cat behavior.
Now, the thing that doesn't scream cat is a broad daylight attack on a property, you know, with relatives watching. You know, that's very, cats are very opportunistic. They're not dumb. You know, they, especially mountain lions, if there's mountain lions in Kentucky, they're not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But they're running him up the cliff. Like you said, well, I don't think a bear could get up there. You know, well, a mountain lion could. I don't care what anybody says. A mountain lion is one of the most agile things we have here on this continent. So if he wants to get up there, he's going to get up there. And carrying a 100-pound kid would not be that big of a hassle for him. The state of the continued bites in the mauling that was described by the coroner makes me go against cat.
Hmm.
Cats are very, very efficient. Like I said, they bite their windpipes, they bite tracheas, they bite the back of the head. 99% of times, sometimes you see like claw marks and scratches on the prey animal's body, specifically humans. And a lot of times you don't see bites. So they bite where they want to lock on, which is the throat, the back of the head, those kind of things, because they want the fight to be over immediately. Cats are built very flimsily. So,
yeah,
what?
They're perfect natural assassins. That's what they are.
Exactly. So yeah. they don't do well with one-on-one fights. That's why they like to avoid other predators.
They're ambush.
Yeah.
Animals. Yeah.
So, with this, with all of that, dragging it up there, and then the state of the boy's remains was found, really seems just the continued biting and the mauling that was described. Seems much more past the state of a cat would, even a cat eating somebody. But with the cat, like I've said, the governments are trying to deny mountain lions in these states.
Which is another reason.
Hardcore.
Why?
We've talked about it with Bigfoot, right? That, you know, the weekend warriors are going to stop camping.
Yeah.
But also, it will cost the state so much money. The second they get recognized as being reintroduced or coming back, even though they've probably never left, right? But they're going to be recognized as reintroduced because they're endangered.
But wouldn't it be better for people to be aware that they're
there? No, because there's money. They're going to lose money. The logging industry is affected.
That takes place over safety, like people's awareness?
I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying, right. I'm telling you why there's so much money in covering it up.
Yeah.
And then also the surveys. So I won't name the officer or the person I know. But I know somebody in one of these wildlife groups that was talking about, oh, we know they're there, but the state will never admit they're there because it's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars in like 10 years to even survey for them.
Mm.
So nobody wants to spend that money.
That's chump change to the American government.
Yeah, it depends on which organization for wildlife, though.
Oh, okay.
Because that's, for example, the state DNR, that's well above their operating budget. They need to spend that money on walleye, don't you know?
Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah, what do you think about the big cat and bears, Dale?
Bears? I noticed in the past couple of years where I live that black bears are starting to encroach into my area. I mean, we got them. We had a bear hit out in Muldrow, Kentucky, not that long ago. They just casually walking through the property and just, somebody hit them in the car. They're starting to make a comeback, and they're starting to become more prevalent in their appearance and being in Kentucky now. It could be from this deforestation, the buildup of the economy, all these shopping centers, apartment complexes that are coming up in the area. They're getting pushed out of their habitats, coming into our entire world, and that can cause a big upset. As for cats, yeah, we got natural cats too. We got the mountain lions. They are here. Of course, not in my area, but we do have more mountainous areas, like out near probably like more Appalachian areas of Kentucky. But yeah, they're there. They're starting to make a comeback, like Justin said. But why they want to cover it up is just crazy. But because that's a threat to the public. It needs to be known.
You know, I agree.
You don't want to go hike. Don't want to go hiking and get ambushed by a mountain lion all of a sudden. Because now you got to worry about looking up instead of keeping focused on the trail you're traveling on.
I got a question. I was looking stuff up while you were talking. What county was this in? Do you remember?
It was Knott County, Kentucky. Supposedly it is 50 miles north of Monroe County, which is 200 miles close to the Appalachians.
Do you know where Madison County, Kentucky is?
Vaguely. Yes.
Is that anywhere close to this?
I want to say it is, but I'll have to look up on a map later.
Will you look it up
after we get off the air?
I got something to say about it, so Jay's gonna look it up for us. I want to know how close Madison County, Kentucky is to Knott County, Kentucky. So we and Dale will talk while you're looking that up.
I'm looking right now.
I just found something. I was on the DNR site for Kentucky, and they're very, very adamant that there are no mountain lions. The state has banned any kind of mountain lion paraphernalia since 2005. They banned all big cats in 2005 as well, private property. Now, there are a lot of pictures of mountain lions in Kentucky. Now, the name mountain lion is kind of a misnomer because pumas are the same species. They're this exact same thing. Mountain lions and all that, they're the same animal. So they are completely comfortable in woodlands and valleys and forests and grasslands and that kind of stuff. Out of all of the big cats, mountain lions are actually the most adaptable of all of the big cats. I think they're only the next cat would be tigers to them with the amount of habitats they live in. How close?
It's pretty close. I mean, I don't have like an actual, miles apart, but it looks.
You'd say fairly close.
Oh yeah, it's like this. Okay. Madison County is just south of Lexington, Kentucky, and if you keep following that 75 south, it runs into.
You say within the
Knox
hour?
County. Huh?
You say you get there within an hour?
Yes, because it's the one's 4 hours from us, and the other one's 5 hours and some change.
So I went basically in 2019, a family in Kentucky in Madison County had probably the best video I've seen of a mountain lion on their home surveillance camera. And to prove it was their home surveillance camera, a little girl went out the next day and stood right where the big cat was. They also found extremely large feline footprints alongside their dog's walking trail on the backside of their property. DNR came out, and the DNR wouldn't confirm about the video, but they had a professional come out and confirm that those were mountain lion tracks.
Hmm. Yeah, they're very close.
So there you go. I just want to
say
that
very close.
Literally about 4 months.
Yes, they're not in Kentucky.
about 4 months before this, a family just really close got a video of one on the back of its property walking down their dog's trail.
Wow. So they're there.
They're there. But yeah, I mean, would you think that this attack was a result of a big cat?
Well, no, because they did say it was canine. So,
and I really wish I could ask the family what they meant by that, because we talked about, like, when the family said it was a canine, you know, it was canid or canine like what does that mean? Does that mean it was huge? It just happened to look like an 8-foot-tall German Shepherd?
Yeah.
Or it was
they weren't really really detailed on the description of the animal that they thought they saw. When the boy was attacked, he said it had pointy ears and it was dark and it was and the boy was getting dragged up a hill.
Yeah, I guess there was other things happening to be focused on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like your grandson being killed.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty awful.
So the cryptid angle, like Dale already brought up several cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first time you're hearing of the Bearilla?
Yeah, it is actually.
You need to watch more Mountain Monsters.
It reminds me of Man Bear Pigs, kind of.
Mountain Monsters had the Bearilla.
I missed it.
Yeah.
Did Buck catch it?
No, why don't you call Bill right now and ask him about it.
See if he caught it. All right.
We're really close friends with the Mountain Monster guys. They're a lot of fun. Dogman. Yeah. So this is pretty far away from the Land Between the Lakes, but not super far. You know, I think 3 hours when we looked it up, something like that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's not too far.
Kentucky's a very wide state, so it's only 2 hours tall and 18 hours across. But with the Dogman, if we look at Dogman attacks that at least people accredit to Dogman, they are oftentimes so, so, so gruesome, so extreme. The bodies, like, Land Between Lakes 1 and all of that. The death attributed to Dogman are oftentimes not predatory assaults. They are oftentimes, what do you want to call rage or just desecration? But, you know, and that's kind of what this seems like to me, that the boy was drugged to an area where nobody could get to him for hours. I mean, the police were there, you know, within a half hour, and they couldn't get to him for 3 hours.
Yeah.
The boy was 300 feet away.
That's crazy.
And they couldn't get to him for 3 hours, where this creature ran up with him immediately.
Hmm.
You know, I don't think people really get that with this story, that it happened just a little bit ago.
Like, yeah.
2020 was
4 years ago.
Not that long ago.
Mm-mm.
Just to have that creature run up there, and this is the Dogman power. So that's what, you know, I kind of lean towards that, and maybe even with another creature, which I don't really think it was, but that's one that gets brought up a lot, of, you know, is hyenas.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking this whole time.
It just doesn't seem like their MO with I don't think you would have found the boy personally.
Well, you said when hyenas are...
They act like big cats, you're right.
Yeah, when they're individuals, they act like big cats, but if it's dragging it away like a big cat and it's got tainted like bite marks...
very secretive.
Yeah, true. Maybe it got freaked out and abandoned it.
No, I'm talking about taking the kid with people in the yard.
Gotcha. Well, I guess, but
that's,
you never
that's
know.
That's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, but if an animal's desperate enough, they'll do anything. You know, if they're hungry enough.
Yeah, you're right. To me, it just seems so much more outright.
Yeah.
And I know hyenas, like we've talked about, become more cat-like with when there's only one or two of them. They become much more secretive. But still, for a hyena to run up that hill, I don't know if they could. Keep in mind, bears...
If a bear is having trouble...
Bears have very, very dexterous paws. They can open doors.
Yeah.
You know, if the locals are very convinced a bear couldn't run up that right now,
let's
I don't know
say
if
a hyena
could.
Right.
Not saying that they can't climb very well, but not like a bear can. You know, bears run up trees.
Yeah.
So, I don't really think hyena... Dogman, though, have thumbs. And just anger. So, I guess, Dale, what's your Dogman thoughts?
The Dogman thoughts. Originally, when I first stumbled across this case, I thought it was like a Bigfoot attack. I was like, oh, this has to be a Bigfoot attack. There ain't no way that this kid's getting dragged up an embankment 300, 400 feet on a muddy slope. But then the next thing I know, I'm like reading that the thing, whatever they saw, had pointed ears. So I'm like, okay, so we could probably eliminate Bigfoot on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we really got for pointed ears is Dogman or Coyote or weird, maybe a strange offshoot chance of a wolf. I don't know. So, I don't know. I'm still leaning towards this, probably a possible Dogman attack. And that's where I'm going to go with it. I will die on that hill that it was probably a Dogman attack. That's getting covered up.
Well, it's a lot. If they're covering it up, you know, that question, why would they cut and dry, you know, make this case ended so fast, put the kid in the ground so fast? It only leads to conspiratorial thoughts at that point. And Dogman, it kind of just fills all the gaps. It fills the story. It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just, every time you look at the story, it just they want to change the outline of it to it was wild dogs killed 13-year-old and caught him on game camera, got DNA evidence of him, matched up with the bites, case closed.
Yep, done.
Done and over with, and there's nothing else on it, and that's all you're gonna find on the if you Google it. Today, that's all you're going to find. You're not going to find the original report that came out when it happened, which is what I saw. And it stated that this thing was large, it had ears, pointed ears, but they couldn't make it out because it was dark. It was around February, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's kind of getting dark. That's right when it's getting dark, yeah.
Yeah, so I get it. They couldn't see really get a good look at it, but it had been large enough to take a child, at least about 100 pounds of a kid up a hill that's 300 feet to 400 feet.
In seconds. I mean, it was immediate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Within seconds, you're right. And I don't think that's wild dogs. It's a wild dog of some type.
Of some sort.
Mineshaft wild dogs, what you keep forgetting. It gives them powers.
Yeah, breathing that mine air. Yeah.
Got good old fresh mine air.
Oh, oxygen rich must be.
Oxygen rich. Well, cobalt rich.
Oh, there we go.
Cobalt's good for your lungs.
Is it? Yeah. I bet it is.
No. I mean, is there any other research you've done or anything else you really want to talk about with this case? Or do you have anything else?
That's pretty much all I have on it. And that's where it pretty much dead ends at, because anything else, you're not going to really find much anything else of what I've explained to you or told you. And like I said, it's pretty much all cut and dry on Google now, but you're not going to get much of it.
Huh.
It's just going to lead you to the point where it's just like, yeah, 13-year-old boy was attacked by wild dogs. They got the DNA evidence from dogs because they caught those dogs on a game camera that was out by this old mining area out on the property. And then the dogs were destroyed after evidence was collected, and the boy was immediately buried. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So why would they cover up Dogman? Why do you think they would cover it up?
The same way they wouldn't. They don't want to disclose Bigfoot. Nobody wants to know. They don't want to know anybody to know about these things being out there. Just imagine what the impact's going to be if that kind of news comes out in the world. I mean, we got disclosure of UFOs, whatever. And everybody kind of shrugged that off like, yeah, we know about that. Who cares? UFOs, big deal.
Right.
Bigfoot, Dogman, that might be a different story because, you know, you get your 411 cases out there and people are going missing in the woods all the time. And now if they come out with the information of Bigfoot and Dogman, then everybody's probably going to know, well, but that's what's doing it.
And now it's nobody disappearing, walking away. It's all Dogman.
Right, yeah.
And we've said that with Bigfoot, too. It's just, you know, the second one of those animals or those cryptids or those paranormal things gets proven to be real. Yeah, it's going to be, everything's going to get blamed on that one when it's probably not. I think Bigfoot take very few people every year in the world.
I agree with that.
I think it's pretty much just Alaska and maybe some of the Pacific North.
Hmm.
Maybe. I really think it's just Alaska and northern Canada as a whole.
And maybe some skunk caves in Florida.
Yeah, it's an orangutan.
Oh, okay.
Which still may drown you.
Could.
I'm not saying it wasn't a bonobo that's out there with a mean, really, really mean bonobo. But that picture was an orangutan.
I'd rather run into an orangutan.
You got better odds.
Yeah.
You got better odds. Now, before we wrap up here in a second, Dale, I just want to say thank you for being a supporter. Thank you for, you know, reaching out to us and having some fun with us. As a local there, I mean, did it get swept under the rug pretty good by locals there too, like it did nationally or internet, like, or was there a little bit more hanging on?
I think the locals weren't buying into it either. From what I can see on like different comments on different segments of the of like articles, the locals weren't buying into it either of what all was going on. Some people even were bold enough to make the claim that it wasn't a wild dog. It was probably Dogman. Because people, it's known in Kentucky. Dogman is known in Kentucky. It's not something that's like not talked about because it's here. Everybody knows about the Dogman. Everybody sees them. But no, it wasn't the locals. It's one of those things where everybody's not buying into the government cover of BS because we're seeing through it. They were seeing through it too. So
there you go.
The light will expose it all.
Keep thinking like Kentucky. Don't believe the government.
That's right.
I mean, there's probably some truth in what they say.
Who's that?
The government.
Like what?
I don't know. It's normally sandwiched in between two lies, so you can't tell them apart.
Like, we're going to raise your taxes?
Yeah, I mean, that's truthful.
Yeah.
We're going to raise them.
It only has been truthful for the past, I don't know, 100 years?
Probably 250. We're 248 years old or something. Like, yeah, probably since the start.
Well.
Now, Dale, I want to thank you for coming on here. We really, really appreciate you.
Yeah.
It has been an honor. Happy to come on the show and talk to you guys for a change. Been a long time coming on this one, but thank you.
No, thank you. Now, before we wrap up here in a second, we have tradition. I'm going to count down from three. We're all going to scream bye, and the outro is going to play. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1, bye!
Bye! Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones and more from Mr. E, there's always extra content on Patreon and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com. We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
I figured it out pretty fast, but I never heard of it.
It's another thing for the bear killer. West Virginia. Oh. It's the same thing. It may actually be a real cryptid.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.